Amen. Margaret, God bless you. And praise the Lord for the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Second Chances and Mind Your Own Business. Second Chances and Mind Your Own Business. I want to say thank you, brothers and sisters, for your understanding and your appreciation for studying God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter, studying books of the Bible. That is not true of every church. That's not true of every Christian. But in November of 21, some 22 months ago, we embarked on a journey in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now 22 months later, we are ending the Gospel of John. Thank you again for your appreciation for that method of study and the support that you give me in preaching and teaching God's Word in that way. Next Sunday morning, please be here along with your copy of God's Word, specifically the New Testament, as we consider Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as we will be in the book of Philippians for the fall. And then beginning in January of 2024, if the Lord has not returned, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. The first half of John 21 is a fishing story. And if you were here last Sunday morning, you remember that Simon Peter and six of his friends were on the Sea of Galilee one night fishing, and they caught nothing. Not one single solitary fish. And as day was breaking, a stranger, or at least someone they didn't recognize at the moment, called to them from the shore, "Hey, why don't you cast your net on the right side?" And perhaps thinking, well, what do we have to lose since we have caught nothing? They did that and hauled in 153 large fish. What a catch. And lo and behold, this one that they did not initially recognize was none other than the resurrected Christ. And when they realized that, Simon Peter, leading the way, came back to the shore to join the Lord Jesus for a breakfast of grilled fish. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning. And we're going to focus specifically on Peter. This last half of John 21, John's epilogue, if you will, is a focus on Peter. Peter receiving a second chance. You say, why did Peter need a second chance, Brother Richard? Well, if you'll remember, not many days from this point earlier, the latest of Thursday night, the earliest of Friday morning, it was Simon Peter when asked, "Hey, don't you know Jesus?" "Nope, never heard of him." "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" "Nope, not me." "You know the Lord." "Do not put me in that group." Not once, not twice, but three times, Peter denied knowing the Lord. And so he was in need. of a second chance. And if I was a betting man, I would suspect that many of us in the room this morning, if not all of us in the room, perhaps even come on this day, August 13th, 2023, needing a second chance. Well, I've got good news for you. Good news is that's what Jesus can offer you this morning. If you have found John chapter 21 and verse 15, would you stand with me in honor of God's word? Follow along as I read through the end of the chapter, through the end of the book. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, over these next few moments, would you please give us eyes to see and ears to hear, as those are gifts from you, and a heart that is receptive to your word. May you use this experience in the life of Simon Peter to encourage us here today, and through your word and your spirit, draw us unto you for salvation and for sanctification. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. If you have been around church for any number of years, or Sunday school, or a Bible study, you probably have heard a lesson or a sermon on today's text. And you may have heard a preacher or a pastor or a Bible study leader tell you definitively, "Well, here's what is happening and here's what it means." Well, those individuals are smarter than me, because we're going to look in just a moment a very familiar dialogue between Jesus and Simon Peter. However, I'm not sure that there is as much here as oftentimes presented. But I will tell you this, undoubtedly, and I will show you on the pages of Scripture the parallels. undoubtedly, it seems that Jesus is using this experience to restore Simon Peter. Let's look at the text. Notice, first of all, in verses 15 through 17, Jesus forgave Peter's past failures. Jesus forgave Peter's past failures. Now remember, Simon Peter had jumped out of the boat. He had swam approximately 100 yards to get to the Lord Jesus first. Verse 15 says, so when they had eaten breakfast, well, how did they cook that breakfast? Definitely on a charcoal fire. Well, do you remember what was also involved on that Thursday night, early Friday morning, when Peter denied the Lord? A charcoal fire to warm those folks there at Pilate's residence. And so, using the surroundings, using the aesthetics, Jesus even says there in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonah. It's an interesting title. It's a matter of fact, the same title that Jesus used way back in John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, when he originally called Peter. Listen to this. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. There was the fire. There was Jesus hearkening back to 3 years previously when he had called Peter to follow him for the very first time. And then in verses 15 through 17, Jesus asks Peter a question. But he doesn't just ask once. And he doesn't just ask twice. He asks the question, the same question, three times. Well, why three times, Brother Richard? Well, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. So reminding Peter through the fire of that Thursday night, Friday morning, taking him back to when Jesus called him for the very first time, Simon, son of Jonah. And oh, Peter, remember that you denied me three times? Well, let me now ask you this question. Three times. There in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me more than these? In the language of the New Testament, there are multiple words that we translate as love. There is that agape love, that perfect love, that unconditional, that sacrificial love that God gives and displays to us. And then there is a more of an emotional love, an experiential love, what we would call a brotherly love, phileo, or the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, we take from. And so Jesus asks this question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me more than these? Well, who are the these here? More than these fish? Surely not. Do you agape me more than you love these other disciples? That's certainly a possibility. But I think that Jesus is asking Simon, Simon, do you agape me more than these disciples agape me? And thinking back to Simon's experience, because remember, Simon had said, Lord, I'll follow you to the death. Oh, really, Simon? But then you denied me 3 times. Simon Peter, do you agape me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved. He was hurt. He was embarrassed because Jesus asked him for a third time, do you phileo me? And then Peter, appealing to the Lord Jesus' deity, his omniscience, his knowing all things, replies, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. 3 denials. And 3 questions. Peter, do you love me? Oh, you do? I forgive you. And I have a job for you. Feed my sheep. And we know from the pages of Scripture that Peter went on to do just that. You can divide the book of Acts in two. In the book of Acts, which is the history authored by Dr. Luke of the first church in the first century. And the first half is focused on Peter. And the second half is focused on Paul. In that first half of the book of Acts, Peter is preaching the word of God. He is feeding the sheep. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands are putting their faith and trust in Christ. Because Jesus forgave Peter's past failures and restored him to ministry. I wonder who might be here this morning who's in need of forgiveness, who has failed at some point. At some point, have you failed as a spouse? At some point, have you failed as a parent? At some point, have you failed as a child? Have you failed as an employer, an employee? Have you failed as a friend? I'm sad to say that you can put me as a yes for all of those. There have been times I've failed as a pastor. But praise the Lord. And thank the Lord that Jesus forgives. Amen. And he gives a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance when we come back to him. And if you're here today, and for a brief time or maybe even extended time, you've walked away from the Lord, maybe like Peter, Jesus is offering forgiveness this morning. He's offering a second chance. Jesus forgave Peter's past failures. Notice in verses 18 and 19 that Jesus forecast Peter's painful future. Jesus forecast or predicted Peter's painful future. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, again talking to Peter, When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. Peter, you were in charge. You were in charge of yourself. You could make your own decisions. You decided where you were going to go and what you were going to do and how you were going to do it. But notice the second half of verse 18. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you or clothe you and carry you where you do not wish. Now, we don't have to guess as to what Jesus is talking about here because of verse 19. It's awesome when John adds these editorial comments that takes away any question or any guessing on our part. Look at verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Jesus, to Peter, follow me. Well, Christian history tells us that like the Lord Jesus, Peter died a martyr's death. And his death, like the Lord Jesus's, was by crucifixion. The cruelest form of execution. But Christian history also tells us that Peter, understanding that he's not the Lord Jesus, did not want to die in exactly the same way. And so the tradition is that Peter was crucified upside down. Different than the Lord Jesus. But Jesus here in verses 18 and 19, he is forecast. He is predicting. He is telling about Peter's painful future. But there are a couple of points of application here that I just want to bring out. Again, there in verse 18, the second half. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Are you an adult child in the room this morning, taking care of aging parents? That's many of you. And you're having to make decisions now for your elderly mom and dad. Can I just encourage you to be kind and loving? You know why? Because there will come a day when you are the aging parent and when your children are making decisions for you. And may you now sow seeds of kindness so that when you're in that place, that you will reap the fruits of kindness. Peter said, there was a time when you were younger and you can make your own decisions. But there is coming a time when you will be old and others will make decisions for you. And so if you're making decisions for others right now, brothers and sisters, be kind, be generous. Be benevolent, because there will come a day when people will make decisions for you. And he says there in verse 19, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Now that's strange. Are you going to glorify God in your death? You ever thought about that? That's not usually how we talk about glorifying God. I'm going to glorify God in my witness. I'm going to glorify God in pointing people to others. I'm going to glorify God at my job or in my marriage or in my spending or my recreating. But how can we glorify God in our death? Well, death can certainly be painful. And death can certainly be hard. And death can be the source of grief. But brothers and sisters, even in our physical death, we have the opportunity to point people to Christ. And I just want to encourage you now before you get to that point, brothers and sisters, make your arrangements before somebody has to make arrangements for you. Write down on paper and give it to someone, perhaps the one who will be carrying those plans out. Let them know what you want and how you want your final arrangements to go, and point people to Jesus as the one who has the opportunity to do multiple funerals. Certainly, there are funerals that are all about the individual. And certainly, there's a place for that. You do come together at a funeral to grieve and to mourn and to remember and to celebrate the life of the individual. But we can also come together at a funeral to see that individual's death point people to Jesus because of the life that they lived. Peter's death, John said, would point people to Jesus, would glorify God. And may we do the same. Finally, number three, beginning in verse 20. Jesus frowned upon Peter's personal focus. Jesus frowned upon Peter's personal focus. Verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Now, again, this is John the Apostle, not John the Baptist. This is John the Apostle. This is, in effect, Jesus' best friend. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He wrote the Revelation. And perhaps, maybe, just a little bit, we see a hint of jealousy. Peter asks, verse 21, but Lord, what about this man? I mean, you're talking about how I'm going to die. Well, what about him? What does Jesus say there in verse 22? Peter, mind your own business. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. We live in a world today, and particularly through social media, where we get a view, although it's not always as accurate as it could be, but we get a view into the lives of thousands of people, which has led, unfortunately, to a lot of comparisons. Comparisons of homes and comparisons of cars and comparisons of talent and ability and comparisons of marriage. And oftentimes it has driven individuals into depression. But like I said, it's not always the most accurate of pictures, because we put those best pictures. We even take the opportunity, for some of us, we doctor the picture and put it on social media for the world to see. But there are some occasions where we can even see the faults of others, the mistakes of others, the failures of others. And in another way, we are prone to say, well, my life's not as bad as theirs. My sin's not as bad as theirs. My failure's not as bad as theirs. And Jesus, talking to Peter after Peter was doing a little bit of comparison, well, how about him? How's he going to die? If my death is going to be so painful, well, isn't his death going to be painful too? By the way, from the best that we know and can tell, John the Apostle died a a relatively painless death in exile on the Isle of Patmos. He was the one of the 12 who was not murdered in some form. But in this moment, Jesus said to Peter, "Hey, mind your own business. Quit worrying about John and take care of you." Now, brothers and sisters, don't hear me say this morning that we're not accountable to one another. We are accountable to one another. I am accountable to you as your pastor. You are accountable to one another as brothers and sisters and members of Emory Baptist Church. But let us, first of all, take care of the one that we see in the mirror. And when I say take care, I'm talking about, as Jesus would say, let's be sure to take the log out of our eye before we take the speck out of someone else's. Jesus frowned upon Peter's personal focus. The end of John's gospel affirms the personal nature with which John wrote. It says in verse 24, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things, wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true." And then in verse 25, he reminds us that the Gospels are not a comprehensive account. They don't tell us of everything that ever happened in Jesus' life. Because if they did, John says, the entire world could not contain the books about the Lord Jesus. So today, the invitation to you is the one that Jesus gave to Peter. He gave it to Peter in verse 19, and he gave it to Peter again in verse 22. The invitation is to follow Jesus. Maybe you are not following him right now. You've never followed him. And so today, if you accepted that invitation, you would be following him for the very first time. We'd love to celebrate that with you. We'd love to welcome you this morning. We'd love for you to join us here at Emory Baptist Church in following Jesus. How do I do that, Brother Richard? Admitting that you're a sinner? Believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place? Calling on the name of the Lord to save you? And if and when you make that personal decision, do you know what awaits you? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin, heaven, eternal life, and a personal saving relationship with the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you need to follow him again. Maybe you've stepped away. Maybe you've, like Peter, denied the Lord on occasion. And today you need to follow him again, recommitting, rededicating your life to following the Lord. Do you know what awaits you if that's your personal decision this morning? Forgiveness and a second chance and a restoration to ministry, a job to do. You know why? That's why the Lord Jesus has left you here, brothers and sisters. He's left you here for a job to do. But you can't do my job and I can't do your job. You can only do your job. And so maybe the Lord wants to forgive you this morning and remind you of the job that he has for you, pointing you in the right direction of feeding his sheep. Maybe you're a guest here today and the Holy Spirit's leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. After I finish praying in just a moment, Brother Chris will come to lead us. Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And we would invite you today to respond to the invitation to follow Jesus for the first time or to follow him again. But our invitation will be for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you gave Peter a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. Father, forgive us when we take for granted how gracious and how merciful you are. Father in heaven, I pray that you would use your word and your spirit this morning to draw individuals to following you for the very first time. And you would draw brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe who have turned away, that you would draw them back unto you this morning, forgiving them and restoring them as they return unto you. Father, would you be at work in the life of our guests today, giving them boldness and courage to join us here at Emory Baptist Church, to grow your kingdom for your glory and for your honor. Father, we commit our invitation to you. We ask and pray for you to be here with us in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. You come today on the very first stanza.